Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody's detoxing from turkey. Hallelujah. Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? In verse 12, please. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are what? Unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, and do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every form of evil. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So this is very important that this be read to everyone. And there's something very important about this scripture. He talks about the spirit, soul, and body. The spirit, soul, and body. Each one of them is connected to a dimensional reality. Three-dimensional realities. It's the spirit, soul, and body. The body is the external reality. The soul is the internal reality. And the spirit is the eternal reality. I'm going to say it again. The body is the external reality. The soul is the internal reality. And the spirit is the external, is the eternal reality. We are living in a two-dimensional reality in the area where there's false and true and temporary and eternal. Amen. But your spirit, soul, and body are connected to three different realities. And what God is trying to do is bring the unification to one reality. Does everybody understand that? It's the Lord, what do you want to speak about tonight? He says, dimensional realities. I'm like, okay, really? He goes, no, really. Really. Get it? Really. I said, whoa, got it. Yes. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. I pray that you may advance. That's what prosper is. In all things. In health, just as your what? Soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to bear that my children walk in truth. So what was he saying? To prosper, advance in all things and be in good health, spiritually, physically, and mentally. Does everybody get that? So he's saying, I pray that you grow and mature with understanding to discern dimensional realities that are related to times and seasons and events. Times, seasons, and events. I'll repeat this because there's more to this. I pray that you'll grow and mature with understanding to discern dimensional realities that relate to times, seasons, and events in the regeneration of your soul as a mediator. To the regeneration of your soul as a mediator. So, in other words, the inner reality of the soul, internal reality, God will utilize as a mediator. But it must prosper. It must grow. It must mature. It must advance. It must be disconnected from the emotional realms that cause people to make wrong choices. Let me repeat it one more. What was he saying? He's saying, I pray that you'll grow, mature with understanding to discern dimensional realities that relate to times, seasons, and events in the regeneration of your soul as a mediator. So he's saying, I pray that you prosper also and advance in all things in good health, spiritually, physically, and what? Mentally. Again, your body is connected to the external realities. Your soul is connected to the internal realities, and your spirit is connected to the eternal realities, which each one is always seeking out what reality. But the enemy's always trying to cross us realities with false reality. Hallelujah. Titus 3, verse 1. He said, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hatred and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his plan or his grace, we should become heirs to the hope of what? Eternal life. So that everything begins to dismantle, so that the only prosperous place is the eternal reality for me and you. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Now, but avoid what? Foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the device of man after the first and second admonishment, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Again, washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That means aligning his plan and expressing his character in every reality. In what? Every reality with authority and dominion, no matter what is going on. You know, one of the things the enemy loves to do is cause people to live in their own reality. So they build in their own reality. And in this reality, they are become slaves. They've been taken captive. Because they're not able to step out of that reality except for everything that's associated with them. That's where me, myself, and I comes into effect. But what about me? What about me? What about me? Easily offended, self-reality, it's a self-reality all the time. The eternal reality is not a constant. So until the eternal reality becomes a constant, God can't trust people. Does everybody understand it? It must be a constant for me and you. That's the area of maturing. That's advancing. So we want to advance to the eternal reality is constant, no matter where we are, no matter what we do, especially the things that we say and the things that we think, the things we agree with and the things that we disagree with. It should always represent, for me and you, the eternal reality. Now listen, you may say, well, how can I live in this world? Well, everything. Everything. Seeing through everything. We have an inner reality. We have an external reality. But we have an eternal reality that is vitally, vitally important and priority. So what's God trying to do? He's trying to bring it to where the eternal reality has dominion in every area. And whether you're in an area of inner or external reality, eternal reality has the power and dominion in every single place. Does everybody understand that? Does anybody understand that? Colossians chapter 2, and verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or drink or in regarding the festival or new moon or Sabbath, which are what? Shadows of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Now think about this for a second, because Christ is the eternal reality. Amen? He's the eternal reality. But you know what? He's access to every reality, inner, external, and eternal. But he's the eternal reality that accesses every location. Why? Because his focus is rescue, restoration, restore. Verse 18, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding in those things which they have not seen, vainly puffed up in their fleshly minds, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, the basic principles of the world is the external reality. He says you must die from the basic principles of the world, from the external reality. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Basic principles of the world are external reality. We must die to the external reality of deception. And it's only by the regeneration of the soul and the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. On a what? Constant, he said. Constant. 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. So let me ask you a question. Is this groaning external, eternal, or internal? Internal. Amen. This is why. Because that internal is trying to come out of its reality into the eternal. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Glory. All right. Let's finish this off now. He who has prepared us for this very thing is who? God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether be present or absent, to be what? Well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and also trust are well known in your consciences. Praise God. Okay. So this is the internal reality. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Now think about this. Is this internal, external, eternal? Eternal. Amen? What did He say? You're blessed out of every what? Spiritual blessing in what? Heavenly places. So He's now expressing the eternal reality. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Again, eternal reality. Go to Romans 12. You therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your responsibility or reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thoughts, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Refresh your thinking according to the mind of Christ, to manifest. Now these are dimensional wills of God. There's good, acceptable, and what? Perfect. perfect. So you know that the perfect will of God would be what? The eternal. Amen? The acceptable would be the internal, and the good would be the external. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus Christ also may be manifested in our body. In other words, that the eternal reality may be always manifested in us. Listen, these guys, the apostles, they were burned in oil. They were hung upside down and crucified. They were cut in half. And you know what got them through? They were living in the eternal reality. They did not associate themselves. They matured and grew to where the inner and the external reality had no effect on them anymore. The only thing that affected them was the eternal reality, and that's what they live by. And that doesn't mean you can't operate in the other realities, but what you're bringing is the eternal reality in every other reality that takes dominion and power and authority over every single one. When you do that, when you become a master of that, you never fall. You never backslide. You never break covenant. You just don't. Never. You don't even consider going back. That's not even an option in your thought pattern. You've come to the end of everything. There's nothing in your life anymore except for to please God and fill His purpose and not our own. Amen. Verse 11. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the plan, God's grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. I love it. Therefore, we do not what? Lose heart. Even though our what? External man is what? Perishing. Yet the inward, internal man is what? Being renewed. Does everybody understand this? Being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, now check this out. For our light afflictions, your conflicts, your challenges, and which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Eternal weight. While we do not look at the things that are what? Seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are what? Eternal. So we don't lose. So he's saying, don't lose your identity while your external reality is perishing. Your inner reality is being renewed and refreshed daily through the challenges that assist us in the groping for the eternal reality. See, you grope. You're looking for it all the time. Creating the ability to see through the temporary into the eternal. So all of these things that God is bringing us through is causing the eternal reality to have full effect on you so that you're not seeing in the temporary, but you're seeing through the temporary. Does everybody get that? As a man thinks, so he is. You know, in true reality, as a man thinks, so he sees. A man is always thinking what he's seeing. A thought comes, you see it. Or something you see comes up, creates a thought. One or the other. So God is trying to bring us to that place. We are focused on the eternal reality. Even though we live in a temporary place. And our soul is the mediator because it's the inner reality. It's your inner man. Amen? So in this, as everything begins to align, you're going to start, and as the soul is being converted, you're going to start to step away from the, in other words, the external reality in the inner reality through emotions and will have no effect on you. I can only share this through my experience. When I had my visitation from the Lord, and I was taken to the other side, when he lifted from me and I was out of the cloud of glory, the eternal reality possessed me. His presence possessed me. I had no other voice in me, even though it might have been my voice, but it was his voice. I functioned like that for about 2 months. Anything, and now I didn't know the Word of God. I didn't read the Word of God. But anything that was the external reality that tried to press on me or come close to me was no. The inner emotional reality of the soul was no. No. It tried to influence me. No, it didn't even get an opportunity to. Because the eternal reality that was in me superseded everything else. Everything. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about this. It wasn't about nothing. I didn't need everything. As far as I was concerned, if you got the eternal reality, you got everything. And nothing will be withheld from you. You have everything. Everything when you have the eternal reality. In other words, eternity is more real to you than anything else. And you look forward to going home. You know this place ain't yours. Why? Because it's temporary. So you no longer belong to a temporary reality. You belong to the eternal reality. But see, there's got to be that connection and oneness where you have come out of everything and you're walking in the eternal. That's what walking in the Spirit is, walking in the eternal reality. Amen? There's no hardship. There's no disappointment. Why? Because you're living in an eternal reality. In other words, eternity is so real to you that nothing else affects you. Trouble's going, it's going to work out. It's going to all work. It doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. No. You're not looking to please you. You're not looking for recognition for nothing. The only thing you want to do is give him glory. Just him. Why? Because he's the holder of all reality. I know that this is, it's not a hard teaching. It's not an easy teaching. And it all can be interpreted by the Spirit. Amen. He brings us to the deep things of God. But when you look about global events and things that are happening, what's God trying to do? He's trying to bring in a reality to people of the eternal reality. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but, I mean, there places are flooding everywhere, all over the world. Mecca's been flooded and bugged. The cube, you know, probably because, you know, it stinks in there, in the cube. That's got cockroaches and locusts. It's driving all of these people that are walking around this big square black dome, demonic square black dome thing, that it's chasing everybody else that tries to go to pray there. So it's moving them out of the places. And then Dubai is flooding like crazy too. So all these places are being flooded and bugged. I'd say that's part of God's judgment. China, all over the world, places are being flooded and bugged. Earthquakes. No, God is like, okay, I'm going to get your attention. Because they're going to this, in Mecca, they're walking around this thing to pray to this demon box, Cracker Jack box, you know, and ain't nothing happening. They're getting bugged and flooded. I'd say their principalities are not answering them. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, please. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, what's his divine power? Is that the eternal reality or temporary reality? Amen? Think about it. That eternal reality has given us all things. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge or revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Now, why? Because they're not living in the eternal reality. It's not a reality to them. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never, what? Stumble. Again, if you are living in the eternal reality, you'll never stumble. Never. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's plan and peace will be multiplied by the interpreting the eternal knowledge of God and Jesus, especially in the function and purposes in his divine power in us that maintains our existence. That maintains our existence. That which is your identity. Your existence is your identity. Does everybody get that? We don't just exist. We exist because we have an identity. And in that identity, it must be connected to the eternal reality. Because when it is truly connected to the eternal reality, you become a partaker of the divine nature. But if it's not connected to the eternal reality, you are not. The identity must be connected to your identity is connected to the eternal reality, which allows you to become partakers of the divine nature. And the divine nature always complements the eternal reality. Again, the divine nature always complements the eternal reality. Hallelujah. See, so when you're caught up in yourself, you ain't in the eternal reality no more. You're caught up in the inner reality. Me, myself, and I syndrome. Woe is me syndrome. Poor me. Only happens to me. Me. Sounds like a buzzard. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. All Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be what? Unevenly yoked together with what? Unbelievers. You know, it's pretty amazing. I've heard so many people, they've come out of drug rehabs and things of that degree and whatever, and they know about people and places. Well, their best friend called them and said, look, come on over and watch a football game. And they go over and watch a football game. They're all partying. And he's saying, I'm not going to do it. You know what? By the end of that football game, that person's partying too. So many people, I'm going to go rescue my friend. He's in a crack house. They don't come out either. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. If they do something, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Why? Because those things influence the internal reality and the external reality, and not promoters of the eternal reality. You want to stay away from anything that does not promote eternal reality. Amen? Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Yes. And I want to close at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differ from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and after the spiritual. So again, you and I were born in a false reality. We are living in the external reality and out of the internal reality, but we are never living an external or eternal reality. Amen? The first man was the earth, was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven, the eternal reality. As was the man of dust, also so also those who were made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So there's a battle over realities, constant. There's not only the battle within, but without. Trying to prevent us from going to that and maturing and breaking through to the eternal reality where the eternal reality is constant with you. It doesn't matter whether you're at work, doesn't matter what choices you make. The fact that it should enhance the choices being made. Amen? The eternal reality is a priority now. That's what God is trying to bring to the body. That's why there's the shaking and the quaking all over. God is trying to remove people out of the inner reality, external reality, and into the eternal reality. Amen? We have the choice. God will never force us to enter those places or to grow for them. But he gives us the choice to go after them. That's why we must become lovers of his presence. If you're lovers of his presence, you begin to abide in the eternal reality. And your life changes. And it's a process. Because other things are going to come across your path where you're going to have to make the choice. No, that's not associated with eternal reality. God is cleaning up everything right now. There's a cleanup. And all the stuff that's being cleaned up right now is to put in place eternal reality. Why? He's getting ready to bring his people home. That may take a little bit. And the house of Ida won't stand, will it? So praise God. Prepare yourself. Search yourself. Examine yourself. Whether you're, you know, the Bible says, whether you're in the faith or not. Well, whether you're in the eternal reality or not. Amen? And it doesn't mean that we're so heavenly bound that we can't function in the earth. That's not true. In fact, your function in the earth should be better, not worse. Amen? Now, I want to share something quickly. While we were worshiping and we were praying in the Spirit, I saw a cloud. Just a cloud. I saw a cloud. In other words, and in people were peeking their head through the cloud to look to see what was going on. And I wasn't sure what was what. Then I saw serpent's heads begin to peek through the cloud. And I saw this big axe cut all heads and serpent heads off. I thought, whoa. I didn't ask for the meaning of it yet. I don't know what happened. But while you and I were praising and worship, there was things getting cut loose. Serpents' heads were being cut off. And people that were hybrids or whatever they were, even though they looked human, their heads were being cut off. I don't know what they were. But they were sticking their heads in a place they had no authority to. Does everybody understand that? They had no authority there. And bam, 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 bam. So get ready. You may see heads falling from heaven. Serpents falling from heaven. Praise God. Anyways, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for your mercies and grace and for your word. And Lord, let revelation and impartation and understanding come forth that we may live in the eternal reality as we place you before us everything we do. For your glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.